Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So I thought it would be fun to start with a little show and tell this morning. So I brought with me a Precious Moments Bible. Now, if you were a child of the 80s or even the early 90s, then the Precious Moments Bible will look familiar to you. In fact, you may have had a Precious Moments Bible yourself. So in my office, I have a couple of bookshelves, and on one of those bookshelves, the bottom shelf is designated for Bibles. I have different Bibles that I've collected over the years. One of those Bibles that I have on that shelf was given to me by an older lady in Watauga who has since passed away. Her father was a pastor, and that Bible belonged to him, and so she passed it on to me. I also have on that shelf some Bibles that I purchased in college. One of those is a pocket-sized Bible that'll fit in the back pocket of my jeans, because when I was in college, I thought, when I'm a pastor, I'm going to need a Bible that I can carry in my pocket with me wherever I go. I could not have predicted the iPhone or the Bible app. But for me, this Precious Moments Bible, it's different than the others. It stands out from the rest because this Precious Moments Bible is actually the first Bible that I probably ever received. It was a gift from my parents, Christmas of 1985, when I was 4 years old, and actually my dad was pastor of this church at that time, and so unlike the other Bibles on my shelf, this Bible was with me in this building when I was a child, and it's with me here again once today. So we're in the middle of a series right now titled Faithful, and as we're going through this series, we are being reminded of how God has proven himself to be faithful. If you remember at the start of the year, we talked about our call to be faithful, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. But in the midst of this Advent season, we're not talking about our call to be faithful. We are looking at how God proved himself to be faithful in sending Jesus Christ into this world all those years ago. So if you remember, Advent means the coming. And this period of Advent each year is the time leading up to the celebration of Christ coming into this world all those years ago. Now, when Christ came into this world all those years ago, his coming was different. His coming stands out from all the others. If you think about it, there were many babies being born at that time. There were probably babies that were born on the same night at the same time that Jesus was born. But his birth was different. His birth was not like the others. Jesus wasn't just yet another baby. Rather, Jesus was the one that they had been waiting for, the long-expected Messiah. Jesus was different than the others, and I want you to know Jesus is still different than the others. There are many things in this world that promise us hope. There are many things in this world that promise us peace. There are many things in this world that promise us joy. But unlike the others, Jesus is the only one that comes through on that promise. Jesus promises hope, peace, and joy, and he comes through and he gives us that hope, peace, and joy that we so desperately need. He was the long-awaited Messiah, and he was born all those years ago, and he was different than the others then, but he is still different than the others today. And so here's my encouragement to us during this Advent season. Let's experience the difference of Jesus. If Jesus is truly different than the others, if he's the one that we can look to find the hope, peace, and joy that we need, then instead of looking at all of these other things, let's look to Jesus and find what we're looking for. Let's experience the difference of Jesus. Now, as we go through this series, we're looking at and being reminded of the different gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us through the faithful provision of Jesus into this world all those years ago. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the gift of hope. Last week, we talked about the gift of peace. This morning, we're going to talk about the gift of joy, and we're going to see that joy present as the wise men encounter Jesus. In fact, we've looked at this passage already in the lighting of our Advent candle. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12 this morning. Matthew 2, 9 through 12. Now, as you're turning there, I want to take you back to the beginning of chapter 2, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. In verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2, we read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him.'" So back in 2016, a woman in West Wells, she parked her car and she went in to go shopping. And while she was shopping, some citizens saw that bees began to gather on her car. And as the bees began to grow, that swarm began to grow on her car, a concerned citizen called a beekeeper to come and remove the bees. And so the beekeeper came, successfully removed all of the bees before she ever returned to the car. She must have been doing a lot of Christmas shopping because that's a lot that took place while she was gone. So when she came back to the car, she was simply informed of the incident, and she didn't think much of it. She just went on her way, finished all of her errands, and then went back home. But the next morning, her car was covered once again in bees. And so what she discovered was that while the beekeeper had removed the bees, he had failed to remove the queen. And so 20,000 bees followed her car around town until she finally arrived at home. Quite the amazing journey. So as we look at these verses, we see another amazing journey. The wise men, they've been traveling. They haven't been following a car, but they have been following a star. And their desire was not to find their queen. Their desire was to find the King of all kings. And so they stopped in Jerusalem to speak with King Herod, thinking that certainly those in Jerusalem would have a greater desire to find this Messiah. Those in Jerusalem would have a greater desire to worship the one that had been prophesied about and the one that had now been born, the one who would be King of the Jews. Of course, what they would discover later on is that King Herod really had a desire to kill Jesus, believing that he was a threat to him. But as we think about all of this, the star leading the wise men, the desire that the wise men had to find the Messiah, and even the hatred that was in King Herod's heart building up, as we think about all of this, we're reminded of this truth. The presence of Jesus changes things. The presence of Jesus changes things. Think about it. Up until this point, Jesus really had not done much. He hadn't begun preaching. He hadn't performed any miracles. He hadn't, as a human, called anyone to follow him. And yet, even with just his birth, his entrance onto the scene, we see the great impact and influence of Jesus in magnificent ways. The presence of Jesus changes things. And if you're a believer, the presence of Jesus in your life should change things for you. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I notice that sometimes people act differently when I'm around simply because they're in the presence of a pastor. In fact, a couple of months ago, I was getting my hair cut up in Seguin, and I'd been sitting in the chair for a while. The lady was cutting my hair, and she asked me what I did for a living, and I told her I'm a pastor, and she said, "Well, thanks for the warning. Now I have to watch what I say." So let me just say a couple of things here. You don't have to change how you speak or how you act around me simply because I'm a pastor. Truth be told, before I was a pastor, I was a person. And even after becoming a pastor, I'm still a person. And so my presence shouldn't change things for you, but let me just be honest with you. The presence of Jesus in your life should change things for you. In other words, you don't need to turn away from sin because your pastor's around or really because any other person is around. But if you're a Christ follower, you should desire to turn away from sin because Jesus is around, because His presence is in your life. The presence of Jesus in your life should change things for you. And if you would say that your life doesn't look any different today because of Jesus, if you would say that you have no problem with sin in your life, if there's no conviction of sin, then I would ask an honest question. Do you have the presence of Jesus in your life? Have you turned from your sins, trusting Him, surrendering to Him as Lord? And if you haven't, then my desire would be that today would be the day. Don't let this day pass. Surrender to Him as Lord today, and let the presence of Jesus change your life. So the world was clearly being impacted by the presence of Jesus as the wise men went to go and find this king that had been born as they followed this star. And so after they stop in Jerusalem, we're told that their journey continued. And so this is really where we pick up in our passage this morning. So with that in mind, let's read Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, "After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin with what we see there in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy." Now, a more direct translation of this would be to say that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In other words, when the wise men saw the star that had stopped at the location where Jesus was, they experienced joy upon joy. So, when our family went to Disney World this last summer, on the last day of our trip, we had a very unexpected, a very unique experience. As we were getting in line, standing in line for one of the roller coasters, a line that we would have to wait over an hour in, we engaged in conversation with one of the park employees. His name was Raymond. And so he was sitting at the front of the entrance of the line. And so we engaged in conversation with him, and then we had to keep moving because the line continued to move. And so we waited in that line for probably 10 or 15 minutes when we saw Raymond walking through the line towards us. And when he got to us, he leaned over and said, "Follow me, I'm going to take you to the front of the line." So imagine the excitement that we felt when we found out we got to go all the way to the front of the line. But not only that, as we were going to the front of the line, he said, "Give me your phone, let me take a picture of your family." And so he took a picture of our family, and then he gave us each a Mickey Mouse keychain, and then he took us to the front of the line. And not only that, we got to ride in the first two cars of the roller coaster. So front of the line, front of the ride, it was awesome. Imagine the joy that we were feeling as we rode that ride and as we pulled back into the station. But when we pulled back into the station, we saw Raymond waiting there for us. And when we got off the ride, he said, "Did you enjoy it?" And we said, "We loved it." And he said, "Do you want to do it again?" And we said, "Absolutely." And so we did it all again. He took another family picture of us. This time he gave us a key to go on our keychains. And then he took us back to the front of the ride, and we got to ride in those first two cars again. And so we were already experiencing this joy, but all of a sudden now this was joy upon joy. So this is kind of the best illustration that I can give from a very earthly standpoint as we think about this overwhelming joy, this joy upon joy that the wise men experienced upon the arrival of Christ's location. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with great joy. Now, while I gave a very earthly illustration about this joy, I want you to understand that the joy that we experience in Jesus is far greater than this earthly joy. In fact, the word that's translated there as joy is to be understood as more than simply a feeling. Rather, it is a lasting emotion that comes from the choice of trusting God. In other words, the joy of Jesus doesn't come from what happens around us. The joy of Jesus is produced inside of us. Let me say that again. The joy of Jesus doesn't come from what happens around us. The joy of Jesus is produced inside of us. While the events that unfolded at Disney World, they were certainly exciting for us, and we had those feelings of joy. Really, that joy was a fleeting joy because it was simply based on the events that were happening around us. But the joy that we have in Jesus, the joy that we have as we are reminded of the goodness of God and as we are reminded of the glorious salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ, the joy that we have in Jesus is an everlasting joy. It's a joy that doesn't come from what happens around us. It is a joy that Jesus produces inside of us. And truly, as we're reminded of God's faithfulness, like the wise men, we can experience this overwhelming joy. So let me just pause right here and ask, do you have the joy of Jesus? Now, I'm not asking about the circumstances going on around you. I'm asking if you have this joy of Jesus that is produced inside of you, regardless of what goes on around you. Do you have the joy of Jesus? And if you don't, then my prayer would be that you wouldn't wait until Christmas morning to receive this gift, but that you would receive this gift through Jesus Christ even today. So as we continue to look at our passage, there's a couple of things that I want you to see as the wise men were overwhelmed with joy. First, they were overwhelmed with joy because God's promises were fulfilled. Let's look at verse 11 again. It says, entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They were overwhelmed with joy because God's promises were fulfilled. So back in 2016, a 12-year-old Oregon girl named Hannah Roundtree, she lost her cat when it wandered away from home. She looked everywhere for this cat to no avail, but 3 years later, when she was 15 years old, she was volunteering at an animal shelter 5 miles away in another town when a stray cat was picked up and brought in. The cat looked familiar to Hannah, so she went and got some old pictures, and as she looked at the pictures, the markings in the pictures lined up with the markings on the cat, and she knew that she had finally found the cat that she had been looking for. So when the wise men arrived at the house, they saw Jesus, and it was as if all the markings of Jesus aligned with the markings of Scripture or the prophecies of Scripture. And so they knew when they saw Jesus, they weren't just seeing any other child. They were seeing the fulfillment of God's promises. The king that they had been waiting for, the Messiah that they had been looking for, had finally arrived onto the scene. God's promises had finally been realized, and they were realized in Jesus. I want you to know, God's promises are realized in Jesus. God's promises are realized in Jesus. This is especially true as we think about our salvation. The wise men, they got to see the beginnings of this promise realized in Jesus' birth as they saw him in this house. But as we look to the cross, and as we look to the open tomb, we can say the markings of our salvation are all there, and they are all being fulfilled in and through Jesus. God's promises are realized in Jesus. And so I would encourage you today, if you're looking for the hope of salvation, if you're looking for freedom from sin, if you're looking for forgiveness and redemption, look no further than Jesus, because all of those are promises from God, and those promises are realized in Jesus. God's promises are realized in Jesus. And when we recognize that God's promises are realized in Jesus, and when we find Jesus for ourselves by submitting to him as Lord, we also are able to experience this overwhelming joy. So they were overwhelmed with joy because God's promises were fulfilled. Second, they were overwhelmed with joy because they were in the presence of their Savior. Let's look at the second part of verse 11 now. It says, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were overwhelmed with joy because they were in the presence of their Savior. Now, in some translations, instead of saying falling to their knees, it simply says that they fell down to worship Jesus. Now, this is certainly an interesting thing for an adult to do before a child, because lowering your posture before someone indicated a recognition of their position. They were someone that was over you. They held a position higher than you. So this isn't something that an adult would typically do before a child, to lower their position before a child. But once again, this wasn't just any other child. Jesus was different from the others. Jesus was their king, the one that had come to lead them. They knew that Jesus was their Messiah, the one that had come to save them. And so as they recognized his position, as they recognized who Jesus truly was, they couldn't help but fall down to worship him. And I want you to see the urgency in their response. When they entered that house, they didn't wait around. They didn't hang out for a bit. Their response to Jesus was immediate. They fell to their knees, humbling themselves before Jesus, and they began to worship him. And so I would ask you, if you have not yet humbled yourself before Jesus, if you have not yet come to know him as Lord, I would simply ask you, what are you waiting for? He is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the sacrifice for our sins. He's the risen Savior, and he has extended this invitation to know him as Lord to each of us. So what are you waiting for? And if I could, I would simply encourage you, don't wait any longer. Surrender to Jesus today. Now, these wise men, they also brought gifts to Jesus, three gifts to be exact. Scripture doesn't really tell us that there were three wise men that went, although because there were three gifts given, many times that's where our minds go, that there were three wise men there. But these gifts were given, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And while each of these gifts held a great significance for who Jesus was as our Lord, the reality is that the greatest gift that they gave to Jesus that day was their worship. In fact, I would say that these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh all came from their heart of worship to the Lord. And so I would say, just like the greatest thing that they offered to Jesus was their worship, the greatest thing we can offer Jesus is our worship. In other words, the greatest thing we can offer Jesus isn't more money in the offering plate, and it isn't more acts of service. All of those are great things as long as they coincide with our worship. But the greatest thing we can offer Jesus is our worship. And I would define worship in this way: to recognize and to submit to Jesus as Lord. Really, that's what true worship is for us, to recognize and to submit to Jesus as Lord. Because apart from this recognition and submission to Jesus as Lord, when we sing songs of worship, apart from recognizing him as Lord, all of it is just lip service. And so the greatest thing that we can do to worship the Lord is to recognize and to submit to Jesus as Lord. This is what the wise men were doing. They were recognizing who Jesus was, and they were submitting to him as Lord, not out of obligation, not out of force, but simply because they recognized that they were in the presence of someone that was different than the rest, someone who was different from the others. They were in the presence of their Savior, and this recognition of who Jesus was and this recognition of who Jesus is caused them to worship, but it also produced in them this overwhelming joy. And we also can experience this overwhelming joy if we will recognize and submit to Jesus as Lord. You know, this joy that we receive, it really is a gift. But it's a gift that we're only able to experience because we serve a God who is faithful. And he faithfully provided Jesus Christ into this world all those years ago. And so my encouragement to us this Advent season is, let's be reminded once again of God's faithfulness as we walk in and as we experience this joy every single day. Now, if you've never received this gift of joy because you've never surrendered to Jesus as your Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is your opportunity to respond to Jesus today. If you're here today and you would say, I've never given my life to Christ, but today I recognize that he's the one that can give me everything that I'm truly looking for. He's the one that can satisfy the longings of my soul. He's the one that can give me an everlasting joy. If you recognize that today and you're ready to surrender to him as Lord, then as we sing this song, I want to invite you to respond. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'll be right down front. you can come and talk with me right here. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess Jesus as Lord, as we've been called to do. If you've never taken that step, but you need to, I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Let's make that commitment today. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to come and connect my life with this body of believers here. If that's you, then I would invite you to make that decision as well. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you, respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.